Yeah, thank you for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Soojung Kim, the president of this talk. My colleagues and I are from Seoul National University, and my advisor is Byung-Gun Chun. Today, I'll introduce our system parallax for sparsity-aware data pattern training of deep neural networks. So training deep neural networks requires intensive computation to handle large amounts of input data. Data parallelism accelerates the training by processing the input data in parallel, so multiple workers do the same computation using different input data. Since more data is processed at the same time, it drastically reduces the training time, and it is the reason why data parallel training is widely used now. Among the asynchronous and synchronous methods of data parallel training, in this talk, we focus on the synchronous stochastic gradient method. Deep learning training is an iterative process of updating parameters, and an iteration is organized as follows. First, each worker generates gradients of current model parameters using the neural network model and input data that is disjointly assigned to each worker. Next, the method aggregates gradients of all workers and updates model parameters using the aggregated gradients. These steps are repeated until the model converges. Then, how to manage the model parameters? There are two widely used data parallel training architectures. One is the parameter server architecture, and the other is all-reduced architecture. The parameter server architecture manages model parameters globally, and the all-reduced architecture used replicated model parameters in each worker. So more specifically, the parameter server architecture consists of server and worker process, and the servers are in charge of managing the model parameters. Model parameters are distributed to servers, and workers do the computation by reading them. After performing computation, servers aggregate gradients from all workers and update model parameters. On the other hand, the all-reduced architecture only has worker process, and each worker is not only in charge of computation, but also managing replicated model parameters. So each worker updates their local parameters with the aggregated gradient so that the parameters are synchronized as the same values. From now on, we will call the parameter server architecture as PS for short, and the all-reduced architecture as AR. Then let's take a look at performance of each architecture on various models. There are four models here. ResNet 50 and Inception V3, which are image classification model, and NM and NMTR natural language processing models. Later, I will further explain about the models. And the results are measured in a cluster of 48 GPUs connected via InfiniBand using TensorFlow for the PS and Horobod for the AR. The x-axis is the number of GPUs, and the y-axis is the training throughput. And can you find something interesting in these figures? As you can see, in image classification models, the AR shows better performance compared to the PS. However, in natural language processing models, the opposite result appears. The PS is better than the AR. Moreover, the scalability of the AR in image classification models is very close to the ideal. On the other hand, natural language processing models suffer from poor scalability, even though it is PS architecture. Then what is the difference between them? To interpret this result, we looked over their neural network architectures. Image classification models are convolution neural networks which contain convolution and fully connected layers. And we call the weights and biases of these layers as model parameters. In this talk, a variable refers to a tensor that holds model parameters, and we distinguish variables from other normal tensors that are used for inputs or intermediate results. So let's turn our attention to its variable in a convolution neural network. When processing the input data, all elements in its variable are used, and we call this kind of variable as a dense variable. NLP models have different neural network architectures from image classification models. NM and NMT models in the previous experiments are recurrent neural networks, and they have word embeddings to map a word in a sentence into a numeric vector. In this neural network, RNN cells and embedding layers have variables to be trained. However, unlike image classification models, all variables are not dense variables. Variables in RNN cells are dense variables instead of convolution and fully connected layers in image classification models. In contrast, the embedding variable only uses a subset of elements according to the input data. And we name this kind of variable as a sparse variable to distinguish it with a dense variable. It is worth noting that the dense and sparse variables are different from dense and sparse metrics following their mathematical meanings. A matrix is sparse if it has a lot of zero elements, but whether a variable is sparse or dense is distinguished by its usage pattern. So all elements are used or a subset of elements is used. So as a result, dense and sparse variables coexist in the NLP models. Then how does the difference of variable sparsity affect the performance of data pair training? First, dense and sparse variables are different when workers read their elements. In case of a dense variable, each worker must read all the elements to process the input, but sparse variable allows reading a subset of it according to the input data that each worker processed. Second, the gradients of variable also have different characteristics according to the sparsity. Here, a dense or sparse gradients refer to the gradient of a dense or sparse variable. And in case of a dense gradients, the values are represented as a single tensor that has the same size as the dense variable. On the other hand, a sparse gradient is represented as two tensors, one for indices and the other for values. Indices contain information which elements are utilized in a variable, and values contain the gradient value of its elements. This sparse representation is efficient for computation, communication, and memory consumption compared to representing it as a large single tensor with many zeros. The representation affects the gradient aggregation method. So the aggregation of dense gradient is done by element-wise addition of gradient tensor. So the size of an aggregated dense gradient equals to the gradient size of a single worker. However, sparse gradients from different workers refer to different elements in a variable. So the size of an aggregated sparse gradient increases in proportion to the number of workers. Since characteristics of dense and sparse variables are different from each other, we must handle them differently when performing data pair training for better performance. However, existing frameworks pay little attention to the difference in sparsity of variables. And this is the reason why we introduced Parallax, a deep learning framework that optimizes data pair training according to the sparsity of variables. Parallax achieves up to 6 times speedup for NLP models than existing frameworks in a cluster of 48 GPUs. Although in our paper, the speedup of only NLP models is shown, any models that contain both sparse and dense variable can take advantage of our approach. So far we discussed poor scalability issue of NLP models and a possible optimization point to solve it, the sparsity of variables. For the rest of the talk, I first analyzed the amount of data transfer of the PSNA architectures according to the variable sparsity, and then explain the system design based on the analysis, mainly the hybrid architecture. Finally, I'll show implementation and evaluation. And let's first analyze the data transfer of the PS and the AR according to the variable sparsity. When W is a variable size as bytes, the amount of data transfer per machine for a dense variable is proportional to W bytes for both the PS and AR architectures. And you can check how it is derived in our paper. Then, can you say that there is no preference between them? Actually, no. The PS has a problem of inefficient bandwidth utilization. This is because layers in a neural network is sequentially computed. So even though variables are evenly distributed to servers, at a time, only a single or a few server machines handle variable communication and gradient aggregation. So the bandwidth of other server machines is wasted at a certain moment. However, all machines in the AR method carry equal amount of communication. So the AR efficiently uses bandwidth of all the machines. Therefore, the AR is preferred to the PS for communication of a dense variable, even though they have same amount of data transfer. Before moving on to sparse variable, I'm going to define alpha of a variable, which represents the degree of sparsity. And smaller alpha means the variable is more sparse. For example, if a sparse variable uses only 4 elements among total 12 elements in an iteration, the alpha is 1 over 3. On the other hand, dense variable always utilize all elements. Their alpha values are 1 for all. The alpha is related with the amount of data transfer for reading a variable and sending its gradients. If the variable size is W bytes, the required data transfer is alpha W bytes. On the basis of this fact, on average, the PS needs O alpha W bytes of data transfer per machine to read a sparse variable and to send its gradients. Similarly, its worker in the AR sends O alpha W bytes for a sparse gradient for the aggregation. In this case, what is the size of the aggregated gradients? As I said before, the size of the aggregated sparse gradient increase in proportion to the number of workers. So the size is O alpha W n bytes after the aggregation, and the AR broadcasts this size of bytes to all the workers to update their replicated variables. So the amount of data transfer per machine for a sparse variable is proportional to alpha W bytes for the PS, while that of the AR is proportional to alpha W n bytes. Since the PS requires much smaller data transfer than the AR, the PS is preferred to the AR for communication of a sparse variable. Based on the analysis, Parallax suggests a hybrid architecture that combines the PS and the AR to take advantages of both sides. And I'll explain how Parallax constructs the hybrid architecture for a model that contains both sparse and dense variables. As the first step of data parallel training, we replicate the neural network model to its GPU. Then, depending on the variable sparsity, the hybrid architecture applies different training architectures. If there is a dense variable, the hybrid architecture uses the AR architecture to synchronize the variable. It means its GPU contains a replicated variable, and its GPU updates the locally replicated variable using the aggregated gradient. On the other hand, if there is a sparse variable, the hybrid architecture uses the PS. A server process manages the variable instead of managing the replicated variable in its GPUs. Its GPU reads the variable from the server process and sends back the gradient to it. Then the server handles the gradient aggregation and the variable update. So at the end, the PS and AR architectures coexist in the hybrid architecture. And it performs an optimized data parallel training using different training architectures according to the variable sparsity. Parallax further optimized the hybrid architecture using local aggregation. Local aggregation reduces data transfer between machines, which is more expensive than communication between GPUs in the same machine. Can we further optimize the hybrid architecture? What about the bandwidth utilization issue in the PS? As I mentioned earlier, the PS uses bandwidth inefficiently. At a time, a single server machine must handle the highly concentrated communication and computation for a variable. And the problem is more significant if there is a large variable. Parallax solves it using automatic variable partitioning that splits a variable into multiple partitions to parallelize the communication and computation across multiple machines. Then the next problem is we don't know which number of partition is the optimal number. So Parallax finds the number using a regression method instead of manually searching all the possible numbers. And you can refer to our paper to check how Parallax provides the method. Parallax is implemented on top of TensorFlow and Horobot. The implementation of Parallax focuses on minimizing user efforts to use our optimized data parallel training. So in this example, only the red boxes are the lines of code additionally required for Parallax to to the single GPU code. The modification includes input data sharding across workers, variable partitioning to mitigate bandwidth utilization issue in the PS, and graph transformation to run the code in a GPU cluster. Lastly, I want to show some experimental results to evaluate the performance of Parallax by comparing the convergence speed and the training throughput of Parallax with other frameworks. We compare Parallax to the PS approach using TensorFlow and the AR approach using Horovod. And we applied variable partitioning for all the frameworks, and Parallax used its automatic method to find the number of partition, and the PS and AR architectures searches manually. And we used a total of 8 machines with 6 Titan XP GPUs each, and the machines are connected via InfiniBand of 100 gigabps. The evaluation used 2 image classification models with ImageNet dataset and 2 NLP models, but in this talk, I will show the result of only NLP models. And the LM model refers to a language model using LSTM, and the NMT model refers to a neural machine translation model. LM and NMT models have both large size of model parameters, but their parameters are not utilized all the time. So LM use only 2% of the total parameters, and NMT use 65% use of the total parameters. So let's first talk about the convergence speed of LM. We use total 6 machines and 36 GPUs for this experiment. In this graph, the x-axis is the time to be taken to achieve the test perplexity of 47.5. And the test perplexity, which is the y-axis, is a measure of how well the probabilistic language model predicts a sample. As we've seen before, the PS has a higher training throughput compared to the AR, so the PS converges faster than the AR. Parallax achieves faster convergence compared to both the PS and AR architectures. Parallax is 5.9 times faster than the AR and 2.6 times faster than the PS. Next, here are the training throughputs of NMT. The x-axis is the number of machines, and the y-axis is the throughput as words per second. The PS shows slightly higher training throughput compared to the AR, but both approaches show poor scalability, especially when using more resources. There is little or no improvement in training throughput between 4 and 8 machines. Parallax improves the throughput up to 3 times compared to the PS and the AR. Parallax also reduces the scalability problem between 4 and 8 machines. So in conclusion, Parallax solves the scalability issue of NLP models using hybrid architecture that optimizes data parallel training according to the sparsity of variables. We show that Parallax achieves higher performance and scalability for NLP models compared to TensorFlow and Horovod. And we open source the Parallax, so Parallax is publicly available through this GitHub link. Thank you for listening, and I'm glad to answer any questions that you may have.
So you have been looking at fairly old, at this point, natural language models. There's more modern ones. For the language model side, there's like BERT, which is huge. There's all the transformer stuff, which is much, much deeper for machine translation. So do you have any reason to think that Parallax would apply there or wouldn't apply there? Or do you have any intuition how you have a bigger model with more stacks, more layers, it affects your results?
Parallax basically tries to reduce the communication overhead when doing parallel computations. So if the model is deeper, the model parameter would increase. So I think Parallax can be performed better.
Under 5 minutes. Paolo Romano, Lisbon University. Very nice talk. What about considering asynchronous stochastic gradient descent, would you still be able to apply these similar techniques, or there would be some challenges arising? Asynchronous, you're considering synchronous, right? Have you thought about it?
So there are two parts for the communication overhead. One is for variable, reading variable, and second one is aggregation of gradients. So in the case of asynchronous, maybe the aggregation part would not occur. So I'm not sure. So yeah, it wouldn't be helpful for the asynchronous, I think.
Any more questions? Did I ask one? I'm going to ask another one. So if you have more information about, let's say, repeated layers, so a lot of modern sparse architectures have the same stack of layers repeated multiple times, so the same layer appears multiple times. Do you think that there's anything that parallax can do from lower layers to make the higher layers faster, or are the optimizations exactly independent per layer?
Oh.
It's speculative, I don't know. I'm wondering.
I didn't think about it, but yeah, it could be a good point to make a better performance in the parallax, but.
Next paper,
yeah.
You'll submit it next year.
Yeah.
Okay, let's thank the speaker.